a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry for the delay in getting started. Welcome to the Senate Tax Committee. And would the Secretary please call the roll?
Senator Adelstein? Howie? Gerstad?
Here.
Maher?
Here.
Merchant?
Here.
Nelson?
Here.
Peterson?
Here.
Prisley?
Here.
Hansen?
Here.
There is a quorum.
Okay, we have a quorum. Is there a motion to adopt the minutes from the last meeting? Moved by Senator Merchant, seconded by Senator Gerstad. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Once again, I'd remind those of you who are testifying to be sure and sign in at the register back by the door. Be sure that we get your names printed right. And with that, I will turn the gavel over to our vice chair, as we have one bill on the agenda today, which is Senate Bill 149. And I have a fairly intimate involvement in that bill, and so I will stand down and pitch the bill from the other mic.
Thank you, Chairman Hansen. I see there's some schools here. Would you like to stand up and tell us where you're from? And welcome to the Senate Taxation Committee. We're waiting. Okay, well, thank you for coming.
And Mr. Chairman, I also have a school here from my district.
Oh, okay.
That would be the Faith School, and they're in the second row over there.
Okay. Well, thank you for choosing the tax committee to Senate Tax Committee to visit today. With that, we will open our testimony with Senator Hansen and Senate Bill 149, which has been a hoghouse bill, and he will explain that to us at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Tom Hansen, Senator from District 22, representing Beetle Hand and Girald counties. And I believe that probably, especially for the benefit of those out on the Internet as well as those visiting here today, a little bit of background in this bill is appropriate. Senate Bill 149, it was as it was originally introduced, failed here in committee. And we, at a later date, entertained a procedure that voted to bring that bill off the table for the purpose of offering an amendment. And as Vice Chairman Frisley mentioned, it's called a hoghouse amendment because it completely changed everything in the bill after the enacting clause, which is the very introductory sentence of the bill. So now it is in a totally different form than what it originally started out to be. And the bill, as it is now presented to us, deals with, again, kind of a component, a complementary component to the change in philosophy that we adopted in a bill last year that says that we will no longer look to try to establish a taxing basis on agricultural property as looking to the prices that are paid by other sales of property in the area. And instead, we will look to that land's ability to produce agricultural revenue as a means of arriving at least the basis that we choose to assess a tax, assess our property tax on. Now, in South Dakota, we have basically three types of property. There's agricultural property, which this deals with. We also have owner-occupied property, that's the residential housing. And then we have commercial property, which is basically everything else. That's apartment buildings, business buildings that are used, whether they're owned by the business or whether they're owned by an investor, all the way up to our utilities, our centrally assessed properties, and so on. And as we implement the move into the method of changing the valuation process for agricultural property, we find ourselves beginning to, you know, at least I'm confident moving into ground that is much more easily predictable. and more easily identifiable. The difficulty in trying to use sales prices as a means of evaluating property is we were down to where we only had maybe a couple hundred sales across the state that would qualify as a means of a basis. And you know, when we look at ability to produce, we have soil type, which doesn't change. We have topography, which doesn't change. We have a lot of things that are constant, and a lot of effort has been put forward into developing some formulas that will tie all of these things together and arrive at a means of identifying why one piece of ground is better than another piece of ground and how much better. But there is some degree of concern as to, okay, with the passing of years, you know, we know that there is increased value. Part of it is due to inflation, but also part of it is due to the fact that there's additional stuff being created. You know, we build more homes, we build more commercial property, but on the ag side, we don't build any more agricultural ground. In fact, we actually lose some ground. And over the course of the next few minutes, there are three amendments that I'm aware of that have been passed out to you. And as each of us makes some mention of the, you know, this bill and the reasons why we think that we ask you to pass it, we may touch on one or more of those amendments. And I think that there's one in particular that reduces the minimum investment in the way of new commercial, new large commercial things that will be divided, which spread over the all three classes of property. But the things that are of some concern is that you recognize that if agricultural properties, because of its ability to produce, changes very little. Okay, are there some reasons why that takes place? Well, one of the reasons is that, each year there's probably about 1,000 acres of agricultural property that's removed from that classification because of being shifted over to residential or commercial. For example, if a housing development is built, that's going to take away from ag property and move it over to commercial. If a shopping center is built, it will do the same thing. And so we're wanting to, the basic premise of the bill is to prevent a shifting of the mill levy, which it determines the amount of property tax that goes to support school general funding, if there's a distortion in that. And I believe that probably gives you about as much background information from me that is necessary. I know that there are others who will be offering testimony that can specifically zero in on some more of the details that that will be beneficial to you. And as we get to the end, why once we get into the committee discussion, why we can act on anyone or all or how many of those amendments you choose to, but we'll let that to be decided in a few minutes.
Senator Hansen, I maybe need a little guidance at this time. With all the amendments that need to be, that are going to come, have they all been passed out?
I believe they have. Let's see, there's 149DO.
Should we have them passed out at this time, all of them?
And there's a 149FB, and what's the third one? You've got the, David, I think. FB. Okay.
Thank you.
FB and FC? Are there four?
Three amendments. Okay, I think we do have three here, so.
Mr. Chair, point of order.
Yes.
I believe FA was adopted last Wednesday. Is that correct?
Oh, okay.
So that's the current language we're looking at.
Okay. At this time, does anyone have any questions of Senator Hansen? If there are no questions of Senator Hansen, are there any other proponents to 149?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, David Owen, South Dakota Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Just making fun of myself a little bit, enough like having your act together, and this is nothing like having your act together. I'm not sure why the students picked tax committee, but if you keep a look on their faces over the next 5 minutes, I'm sure you'll watch the question grow in their minds why they wandered in here as well. Senate Bill 149 is actually a fairly simple bill. If you understand all of this property tax, productivity, Keller Gabriel stuff, and that generally tends to kind of be the struggle. I have had handed out to each of you, and the page has for the audience, a kind of a talking sheet that I want to use to make reference and explain what we're trying to achieve here. As a bit of background, Senator Knutson and I worked on this concept last year as the productivity bill was being shaped and over the last few years. And we've decided to move forward with it. And in our mind, we view this as a logical extension of switching property tax systems and taking agricultural land away from market and putting it on productivity. I'm going to talk in broad sense about the property tax system, and it will be a little basic for some, but I think it helps set the stage for why we brought this bill, and I won't take very long. When they came up with the current system that has what we call the Cutler-Gabriel adjustment, as I understand it, and it's an acquired history for me, but the way that it clearly functions when you look at it, is one of the things they were trying to do is to make sure that we offset some of the natural annual growth in values by appreciation. And that didn't create windfalls for certain government agencies. And thereby also driving up people's taxes on kind of an uncontrolled, open-ended basis. It's easiest to see how we do this with counties. We tell counties, we control your budget. You can have X amount of budget growth. We know what the assessed value is, and as that grows, if you know those two components and you do the math, we drive the mill rate down. Then they can apply that to growth. It's less easy to see how we do this, but with Michael Kenyon's divine wisdom, we do this every year in a process called Cutler-Gabriel for the school general fund. So if you look at the handout that I've given you, we can see the taxes payable in 08, and these are expressed in dollars per thousand. For commercial, we're 911, homeowners 426, agriculture 271. Last year, we averaged the growth for all of those classes of property and came up with the number of about 3.6%, and then you can see the drop in those mill levies. We do this as a group now, looking at an average across all classes. For two reasons, which I'll talk about in a minute, it seemed logical to me that if we're going to have a different system for agriculture, that system would then be the system that would be used to drive the general fund mill number for agriculture. Do that in part, to be candid with you, because as I've worked with the business community, who have been skeptical about the productivity model, to be very candid with you, out of a fear that other states that use a productivity model have watched that tax base go dead flat and thereby maybe shifting taxes. My response was, unless we can find a better method under market that addresses the issues that have brought us here, then we need to address our concerns on productivity to have a fair debate. This addresses the concern that productivity might go flat. Now, let me park the conversation there for a minute and tell you, I don't know that that's going to happen, and it certainly isn't going to happen over the next few years. So what I'm trying to accomplish here is to say, look, we know that ag tax base is going to go up just by the formula that's been adopted. So to a certain extent, commercial and homeowners may not benefit from having that percentage increase as part of their calculation. On the other hand, they'll be protected over the long haul should the ag system, for whatever reason, go flat. And it just is logical to me that if it's a different system, that everybody, as Senator Knutson and I would say, that everybody should, quote, earn their own rate. That is about as simple as this, I can make this, and it's pretty straightforward. I will tell you, it's brought forward as much as an exercise, and do you think this makes sense, and is this a logical extension of the reforms we're doing as anything, and this is the time to do it. Because if we wait till the egg goes flat, or if we don't, if we do this as a reaction to something, it's going to look like we're either punishing agriculture or we're taking advantage of them. This change, I will argue, needs to be made at the moment we're changing the system, which is why it's been brought forward. Now, we had it ready last year, and because we decided to wait to look for the formula numbers, we decided to wait for this. Its moment has arrived. You have some amendments that we can work our way through. One of them addresses what the senator said, and that's how do we accommodate land that is no longer agriculture. I look forward to that conversation. You have two proposals for that, and then I know Senator Peterson has one that will adjust this idea. We've also taken here and said, look, very large projects, Big Stone Plant, Hyperion, these very large projects shouldn't just benefit the commercial homeowners. They really do create wealth for the state. They create opportunities for the state, and in that sense, they ought to be added to the mix for everybody. And you'll see an adjustment in that number that we're perfectly content to support. Let me get out of the way at this point. I look forward to your questions. Thank you, Commissioner.
Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Owens at this time?
I do.
Senator Merchant.
Thank you, Mr. Owens. I was wondering if you could just imagine some projections. You know, if these are singular, if they're separated out, and the commercial portion of it, you know, just really has a great year. Is this, do you think over time this will just be very balanced? I mean, is that the hope, that valuation, if it occurs, if increase in valuation occurs in one of these three areas to an extreme amount, that it might be balanced out in the other areas over time?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Merchant, you've asked an incredibly important question, but because I hang out with politicians all the time, I've learned to change questions slightly, because I like the one I'm about to answer better than the one you asked. I don't know that there is a hope, because if one grows and one doesn't, my hope would be that that system would deliver to that particular part of the tax base a fair mill rate. So if one shows growth over time and the mill rate goes down, that's the system functioning. The thing I'm going to change is when you make reference to, will that provide balance? This system is an annual adjustment system to account for growth, so we don't have inadvertent tax increases or windfalls to government. When we talk about apportioning the tax load for schools and the state picking up a certain percent and taxpayers picking up a certain percent, that will still be apportioned based on the ratios that exist. That is a separate process. I'm strictly talking about year-to-year growth. So to go back to your question literally, if the productivity model drives up that tax base, that means that there is income and wealth and the capacity to pay in agriculture, and we don't want to take that windfall, and if that drives the mill rate down, terrific. And as I suspect for the next 4 or 5 years, if the commercial values go a little bit flat, we'll just hold on to that mill rate.
Thank you. Any further questions, Mr. Owen? Seeing none, we will ask for any further proponents of 149. Or, yes, 149.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Matt McCauley. I'm a lawyer from Sioux Falls and a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota corn growers. We are in support of Senate Bill 149 as it's been hoghoused with an amendment, which I'd like to talk to you about here for just a few minutes. Before I do, just from a big picture perspective, I'd like to just thank Mr. Owen for coming to the ag groups with this amendment and this concept of separating out the growth from the separating out the ag growth and keeping that separate from the growth in commercial and residential. And I would echo Mr. Owen's comments that, you know, there are those in the agricultural community that are also concerned about ag values going up rapidly because of possible inflation. And so there are risks on both sides. And the reality is no one knows the future, and so we're just trying to make the best judgment that we can today with the facts that we have. My concern, and again, Mr. Owen has been accommodating and open to working with us, and my thanks also to the Michael Kinn, the Department of Revenue, who have really both been fantastic throughout this process in giving us information we need, and ultimately giving you the information you need to make these decisions about how this taxation process will be working, because it is a change, and we are fully supportive of it, and there will be tweaks like this that we'll need to make to the process. As to Mr. Owen's comments that we separate out these bases of taxation, I just have the committee consider, you know, we aren't making any more ag land, but commercial continues to grow as ag land is converted, and residential, of course, continues to grow as ag land is converted. And Mr. Kenyon can tell you more about how many acres are lost every year, but I refer to those as developed ag acres. And so if, big picture, as I understand Mr. Owen's bill that he's presented, 149FA in its current form, would be that as ag land, as the valuation changes or grows, grows or declines, that relative burden of the total property taxes that ag has is going to be calculated separately. But I think in fairness, if ag land acres go down and you're losing 1,000 acres or whatever the number is a year and being transferred over to commercial residential, then the ag share should be relieved of that tax burden. In 149FB, as I passed it out, and I think, I hope I underlined the language that is in there, again, what I'm calling the developed ag acres amendment, under 149FB, would just say that if property is reclassified from ag to another property classification, that burden for those acres isn't left with the remaining ag acres, but that burden goes to commercial or goes to residential and just provides some equity. Now, one thing, candidly, I'll tell the community we struggle with is that number may not be a big number. If you look at the total number of ag acres in the state and you say there's about 1,000 that are developed, that may be talking a fraction of a percent each year. Again, that's looking to the future. We can base off what's happened in the past, but we just think it's sound policy to say as those acres move from ag to commercial, that burden should follow with them. Now, there's also been Mr. Owen passed out 149DO, and let me just talk for a minute, Mr. Chairman, if with your permission, if I could, to just the two different theories on these amendments. 149FB, that additional language I've underlined in blue, would make that a required statutory adjustment each year as part of the Cutler-Gabriel process for the general fund school levies. 149DO, on the other hand, would direct the Ag Task Force Commission to develop recommendations to present those to the legislature. Let me just tell you that we've been putting these amendments together and working on this, and I've only had this amendment in my hands, 149DO, for a few minutes. And in fairness, Mr. Owen only had 149FB last night. My preference would be to make this a statutorily required change, and I'll tell you why. And this is partially in reliance on my 4 years serving in this body. A lot of times, great ideas are sent to summer studies, and there's a lot of hearing and testimony that's put in, and those recommendations are never adopted by the legislature. And so I would prefer to have a statutorily required adjustment that would say these adjustments shall be made to the Cutler-Gabriel process when looking at that diminished number of ag acres. And again, we might just be talking about big picture, not a lot of value, but it's the concept or the principle that if there are a reduced number of ag acres, that tax burden should also be reduced as well. And I'll also just point out in 149DO, it refers to the commission will develop a process. There's no guarantee of any implementation, and I understand the concerns that we'll need to tweak this, but my preference, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, would that be that process be statutorily required so that we would need to take a look at that. And, you know, candidly, we could take and I'm just talking out loud here. 149DO, it amends a different section of the law, could also require that the commission in the future report back on that adjustment and make recommendations as to that change. And I've got that statute here in front of me. The commission is charged with doing a number of things and making recommendations and reports to the legislature. And so I certainly think that would be a function, but I would like to see that change be statutorily required. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll stand by for questions of the committee.
Any questions of Mr. McCauley from the committee? Okay, thank you, Matt. Any further proponents of 149?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Michael Kenyon, South Dakota Department of Revenue and Regulation. A little tough to get up in front of you this morning here, after my divine wisdom has been previously talked about and all. Things like that, I hope I don't disappoint you too much. I think this is basically this is a good policy bill, a good piece of legislation. What it does is it ensures it provides a little comfort for some folks that are feeling a little uncomfortable with the transition that has passed the Senate. It's well balanced. It provides that comfort, and it provides a comfort in sort of both directions. It provides a little bit of comfort for the folks that are fearing large increases in ag values because of the transition to productivity value, and it provides a little comfort for the folks that are afraid that the ag value is going to stay stagnant or tank. I think either of the two provisions would probably accomplish what the concern that Mr. McCauley mentioned about the diminishing numbers of ag acres. I think this is I think there's probably an agreement in principle about how to address that. I think it's the mechanics that there's a little bit of questions about. So, but I think people fundamentally agree that's an adjustment that should be taken into account. So with that, I'd urge you to support the bill and one of the amendments. Thank you. I'll stand by.
Thank you, Mr. Kenyon. Any questions of Mike Kenyon? Senator Hawley.
Mr. Chairman, no questions, but just wonder if maybe this is an appropriate time to let the students stand up and remove the glossy look from their eyes.
Further proponents.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Rick Valerie, registered lobbyist for South Dakota Wheat Incorporated. I would like to concur that Senate Bill 49 is needed. It does address a situation that we need to be addressed and look for the future. I have one comment on the future because we are looking in our crystal ball here, but I can tell you that through an agreement over the summer, last session we agreed to delay implementation for 1 year. It worked out very well. We got some good numbers, and what's happened is that in the process, which is creating the price for the Olympic average, we've locked in the highest prices for the next 7 years that agriculture's seen in its history in almost all commodities. While I understand, Representative, I almost promoted David Owen. While I understand David Owen's concern and the business community concern, I think we need to appreciate the fact that this process needs to work for a few years. I have no problem with the language. I do support making it statutory. I think that is the proper way, and a review never hurts. And we've been reviewing property taxes for a number of years, so I would ask you to support the bill and the amendment 149FB.
Thank you, Mr. Valerie. Is there any questions of Rick Valerie? Seeing none, are there any further proponents of 149? Any further proponents of 149? If not, are there any opponents? Seeing none, we will close to public discussion and questions of the sponsors and people who testified and open it to, pardon? Yes, Sam.
I'm sorry.
Pardon?
Didn't mean to take it up.
Okay, that's okay. We'll close to committee questions, comments, and action. Mr. Chair. Senator Peterson.
Mr. Chair, before we have discussion on it, maybe we should try to...
Would you want to move your amendment?
I want to move Amendment 149-FD so that we can put it in the final form and then discuss it that way.
Okay.
Is that okay? With me? All right. So at this time, I would like to move 149-FD.
It has been moved and seconded that we move on 149-FD.
Okay.
Okay. All in favor of Amendment 149-FD would say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
May I address FD? The reason that I moved FD, it's simply lowering the $250 million down to $150 million projects. And the reason I did that, because a lot of the big projects concern all of South Dakota. Hyperion, the oil pipelines that are going to come through. And I guess I feel that in the future, you're going to see more egg processing plants built in South Dakota, too. Right now, everybody's saying we have the demise of the ethanol industry, but I don't think that's going to happen. And when you look at an ethanol plant, the average size now is 100 million gallons, and the cost to build those is around $2 a gallon. And they are an egg processing plant that the farmers invest in, and one of the larger investments that comes into South Dakota, and I would like to see that spread out over all classifications of property. And that's the main reason. And it made others in the ag community, when I talked to representatives, especially on the other side, more comfortable with this bill if we moved it down to 150. So I hope that meets everybody's approval. Thank you.
Are there any questions of Senator Peterson from the committee? If not, is there any questions from anyone from the public? That would like to question Senator Peterson on his amendment. If not, no questions, we move on that one amendment then, correct? Or do you want to wait?
We already did.
I'm sorry. Right, we have. We have moved the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe if it's appropriate, I would move 149-FB as in Bravo.
Second.
There's been a 149-FB has been moved and seconded. With the Secretary, we have to have a roll call, right? Pardon? Just a voice vote, I guess. All in favor of 149-FD, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Amendment is carried.
Now, Mr. Chair, I think this is a little bit of a procedural thing, but 149-FB is actually the total language of 149-FA, basically replacing 149-FA. And so I think it would be appropriate to ask Senator Peterson to once again move his amendment to get that brought into FB, which is the current form.
Fred, are we going to have to change the 149 FD to a different number?
I already have that one prepared. So basically what you're asking to do is this amendment wipes out all the previous amendments. And now we have a clean slate, so now you need to amend this $250 million figure one more time.
Okay, and you have the proper
yes, I do.
Number for it, and I would move that at this time.
Who was the second on that, please?
Yes.
Okay, Senator Howley, thank you. of the voice vote on that. We all in favor of moving Senator Peterson's amendment on that, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Yes, Senator Durstedt. Oh, you bet. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to say to all the students who are here, first of all, it makes me very, very happy to see you. My former career was teaching and coaching college students, and so I always like to see students that are here. Also, what we're talking about is your future and your money. That's what we're talking about here. It's about taxes, and a lot of people think that taxes are a bad word, but really what they are is they're fees for services provided by our state, education services, safety services, highways, roads, helping out those who are having a tough time of it or who are disabled. So that's what taxes do, and all we want and try to do as a tax committee is try to have fairness prevail in terms of how the taxes are paid. So right now we're adjusting property taxes, and there's amendments are fine-tuning. Is wait, I've got a better idea. Let's do it this way. So I just wanted to throw that out there to you. I really appreciate your being here, and it is just spot fairness. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Durstedt. Is there any further discussion on the bill as we have it or the amendment that's been put on? If not, we'd take a look at the other amendments? Or,
well, let's see. They're basically on there.
They are.
The last one?
Well, that would
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair,
yes,
I would move a due pass on 149 as amended right now.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Hansen. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Yes,
thank you,
Senator.
Mr. Chair. I think we've reached a good compromise. I hope that makes everyone a little more at ease with what we're doing. And personally, I think it's going to be an advantage to ag, because I know what has happened to historically to yields and to my yields, especially through the improvement in genetics. And we're going to see that continue, and you're going to see yields continue to increase. And hopefully, although it was a disaster yesterday in the grain markets, they won't go as low as what they were. You know, in 2006, when I go back through my records, I sold corn in January of 2006 for $1.80. And people forgot that quite quickly when corn went to $7, but it's headed back down a long ways. But it's still got a ways to go down to that level. But I think we're going to see, using the productivity, we're going to see ag land on Olympic average. It's going to increase, but it's going to be a fair way, and it's going to come with its ability to pay, and it's really going to preserve ranching in the Black Hills. When we looked at the old method, if we would have strictly went by values, you know, the figures that were given to us on Lawrence County, they would have went up over 2,000%, and you would not have had a ranch left in Lawrence County that could afford to have paid their taxes if we would have removed 150% rule and not went to the productivity method. So I think we have a fair balance. I think ag is going to pay its own way, and hope everybody can.
Thank you, Senator Hansen. Any further comments from any of the senators? If yes, Senator Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the support that you've given on this concept. And I think that we need to recognize the role of the, we talked about this oversight committee several times, as if it's kind of something out there. But They have played a very vital role in bringing us to the point of where we are, and I think that they will continue to play a very vital role, and Senator Peterson is, has been a participant in that oversight committee. And as we look back at comparing the thought of having this adjustment for the removal of agricultural property be set in statute rather than have it be a function of the oversight committee, I believe that, this is probably the direction that we should best move and leave the responsibilities of the oversight committee to deal with fine-tuning and providing guidance to the county directors, which that's basically the the role that, they function in now. Because I think those of us that have been pretty close to it feel have a high level of confidence in the formulas and the methodology that is employed, but that doesn't mean that there aren't still some tiny little things that need to be addressed. For example, what treating agricultural property as it's moved from one use to another, whether it's converting from grassland to cropland. That's an area that needs to have a mindful watch over. And there's always little things that the county directors are going to have questions in their mind as to, what is the best way to handle this? And the people sitting on the oversight committee is a broad-based group of people, not just ag producers, not just politicians. And I believe that, we're in a Mr. Valerie mentioned how we are in an environment right now where we're looking at an kind of a high-end set of prices, and you kick out the one really outlier, but the average price in 2008, it looks like the average price in 2009 may also be up there at so you have two and you pick out one and you still have one left. And those averages are going to have some effect, and this bill may be a more important protection to the ag sector on the upside rather than, it's brought with the idea that it's going to be a big protection for the commercial and owner-occupied sector, but that protection may be equally as valuable to the ag sector. So I, again, appreciate the response that you've given us on this and encourage you to continue with your yes vote.
Thank you, Senator Hansen. Any further discussion on 149? If not, we have a motion for a due pass, and it's been seconded. We would ask the Secretary to call the roll at this time.
Senator Adelstein? Senator Howey?
Yes.
Senator Gerstad?
Aye.
Senator Maher? Senator Merchant?
Aye.
Senator Nelson?
Aye.
Senator Peterson?
Aye.
Senator Frisley?
Aye.
Senator Hansen?
Aye.
Unanimous.
What was it? The vote is 7, 2 absent, and Senate Bill 149 goes out of the Senate. Is there a change in the title?
We amended the title in the last meeting.
Okay, so that's all taken care of. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Senator Frisley, and I believe that brings us to the end of our agenda. Is a motion to adjourn would be in order.
So
moved by Senator Merchant, seconded by Senator Gerstad. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned. Aye.